chaos of having a house full of people is it makes it very hard to record. So, as you can hear, my niece is rumbling downstairs. My son is somewhere in the house. My brother's here. My father and mother are up. So everybody's kind of out and about. So, yeah. Motion Picture Master for February 10th,
2024. Howdy, friends. My name is Cowboy Charlie. I'm playing mighty good. I sing of country music. Come join me if you would. I'm tall and dark and handsome. I'm famous and I'm great. My name is Cowboy Charlie. Come on now, don't be late. Called Deep in the Heart of Jersey. Oh, the factory smoke will make you choke. Deep in the heart of Jersey, the city rats run in big packs. Deep in the heart of Jersey, oh, the pizza man says, I no understand. Deep in the heart of Jersey, and Route 17, the traffic there is mean. Deep in the heart of Jersey.
Folks, how you doing? Vaughn here. Oh, shit. So, I don't know. Podcasting has, taken up a lot of my time. You know, with the 2-3 other podcasts I do, guest spots for other people's shows. Like, I'm recording one tonight. I recorded one a couple weeks ago. I don't know when that's coming out. I'm recording some other stuff for other people this week at some point. My own show's kind of delve into the ridiculousness. I have to record a night court show at some point this weekend because I just feel like I'm owed. As my girlfriend says, you know, we've given your money. Where's our show? You know what I mean? You're not paying for that. You know, you should. Patreon.com/MotionPictureMassacre Presents and you'll get every episode of the Night Court Files that's been released so far. I am midway through the second season. I've been really just really lacking on getting off my ass and doing that because I'm just a lazy fuck. You think I should put more priority towards the paid show than I do the non-paid show, but I'm putting no priority towards any of them, and just trying to get my fucking life in order. tonight we're going to do two films from 1986, Necropolis and The Abomination. What have I watched? There have been a lot of things I've watched in the last couple of weeks. There's this short I watched called There Will Come Soft Rain, which is based on a Ray Bradbury short. And this is like an animated short. I really enjoy this. I don't know what language it is. Maybe it's... the thing is, I try to figure this out. I think... I think it's Russian, because I think the director is a Russian. And it's about a modern, futuristic home where the inhabitants have been killed by nuclear fallout, but the house still continues on like as if it's normal. So the automated systems kind of keep going and doing their own thing. And so this is on Christmas Eve. Allegedly, the story, the Ray Bradbury story, is a little darker, but this was really dark, and I really loved it. I really enjoyed the fuck out of it for like a 15-minute short. It was really great. Really kind of just warmed the subcockles of my bad heart. I watched a documentary called Tax Shelter Terrors, which is about the formation of Cinepix, a Canadian film distributor. Also about the tax shelter times of the 70s and 80s with Canada and how that kind of fell apart. Talks to William Fruit, who's kind of a name that pops up on this show a lot. I've covered a lot of his films. It's not bad. I wish it was longer. I wish it was a little more in-depth. I liked all the interviews. I just wish it was longer. It's a 60-minute documentary. It could be longer. It could be 2 hours for all I care. It's on YouTube if you want to find it. I think it's through joblow.com, which kind of sucks. But that's just my opinion. Mandibles from 2020. This is by Quentin Dupree, who is Dupix, who did Rubber a number of years ago, which is a wonderful film about a sentient rubber tire that has the ability to blow people's brains up. This film is about two dummies who kidnap a car. They're like on a quest to get something done. They steal a car and they open the trunk, and in the trunk there's a humongous fucking fly. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, those big fucking flies you see. I'm talking about a large house fly the size of a pig. Like a small pig. And they kind of take it, and they're trying to train it like a dog to go fetch and retrieve things for them. They kind of come across adventures within the film. It's not somewhat episodic, but it feels that way. It's a very enjoyable film. I thought it was just a really good time. I enjoyed every minute of it. It's on Hulu. I think his other film that came out the next year, Smoking Causes Coughing, is also out on Hulu. Me and April watched The Prowler. Tapel did like this big Valentine's Day show. They showed the two necromantic films, The Prowler and My Bloody Valentine. But by the time the show started, I was so exhausted I didn't want to go. So, and April wants to watch this in My Bloody Valentine, which she'll probably watch on Valentine's Day. Because she's never seen them. And I love The Prowler. I wish that Joseph Zeta did more horror films, like kind of continued in the horror genre after the Friday the 13th film he did. But what can you do? And the only other thing I want to talk about is Call Girl of Cthulhu from 2014. So this is from the same director of the WNUF Halloween special, which I adore. If you listen to this show at all, I talk about it a lot. I really, really love that film. But I don't like anything else this guy's done besides that. I know he made like a sequel last year or the year before, but I haven't picked it up because the price of the disc is way too expensive. It's like $35 for a DVD, and that's a little expensive for my taste. But I've been meaning to watch this, and I was watching a couple things on Tubi, especially Necropolis. And I was like, all right, let me give this a, because it's like, you know, if you like this, you'll like this. It's like, okay. So I watched it. It's about a virginal artist who starts dating a call girl, but she has a mark on her, a tattoo on her, that pretty much states that she is the bride of the nether-realmed being Cthulhu, and it's up to this cult that's trying to find her, so they're killing people left, right, and center. If it's supposed to be a horror comedy, there's no funny or funness to it. It just rubbed me the wrong way, I guess you can say. It wasn't great. It wasn't good. Very indie. A lot of people from the WNUF show up in it. In like weird small roles. I don't know. I wasn't blown away by it. It was kind of like, ugh. You know. So it's like, this is the film I picked. This is what you picked for me, Tubi, you fucks. But overall, it wasn't that great. I don't know. The special effects were fine. Just the storyline was kind of boring. And, like, it was very kind of like, eh, you know. I mean, give it to the director to get his wife to be the lead, the call girl of Cthulhu, I guess you'd say. And be willing to be topless, like, a good portion of the film. You know, more of the merrier. But, I don't know. Besides that, the movie kind of sucked. All right. Let me take my vitamins. We'll play a little, you know, Mojo Nixon died over the week. So I'm going to play a little bit of his music, probably through the bumpers. Because I don't think there's a trailer, really, for Necropolis. And if there is, it's a junky fucking trailer. So I'd rather just play some fucking Mojo Nixon. And get your, you know, ideas about that. Fucking, you know, sad. The guy died in his mid-60s. But he's doing what he loved. He was on a fucking, one of those, like, you know, hillbilly cruises. Like, hell, everybody has these cruises. Like, Jericho has a cruise. For God's sakes. Fucking Kiss cruise. All that garbage. So it's like, holy shit. Anyway, but yeah, like, but he did, was doing what he loved, which is great. The man was a total original, totally fucking, you know, different from all the rest of the world. And it sucks that he's gone, you know. But what can you do? It really sucked to hear when he did pass. I don't mourn many people in the celebrity world, but, you know, Mojo Nixon was special, you know. So we'll play some of his music and get back to Necropolis. Well, since they're both the first to sing, we'll do Necropolis first. I kind of watch it in the watch it order. And then we'll do The Abomination.
Well, you gotta be insane flying them small private planes. Look out, buddy, might be rain. Yeah, you gotta be insane flying them teeny tiny planes. Lord, quite a bitch to maintain. Now, you know, the senator's not the only one. It's a long, sad list, and it goes like this. Let me tell you, it's Stevie Ray Vaughan's long dead gone, and Patsy Cline blew her mind. Leonard Skinner exposed their innards. Yeah, Otis Redding got a lake bedding, and Buddy Holly's no longer jolly, and Randy Rhoads flew too low. And another thing, Ricky Nelson burned like Belson, and the Big Bopper was a very fast dropper. Amelia Earnhardt, Lord, she won't that smart. Oh, Davy Allison and Alan Kowicki made NASCAR fans very sick, and Thurman Munson was not the smart one. Meanwhile, John Denver and Bill Graham saw the Grim Reaper, but they couldn't pay him. Mel Carnahan no longer eats Spam. And Richie Valens and Roberto Clemente were speaking Spanish on their way to the Big Empty. Hey, Aaliyah, I can't see ya. All the senator is dead and Minnesota's oh so sad. But not as sad as when John took his big flight. Yes, Senator Paul Wellstone. Man, that sucker should have stayed home. Instead of stumping for votes, ought to been out herding goats. Let me tell you, well, you gotta be insane to fly in them small private planes. What's the forecast? Well, might be rain. Yeah, you gotta be insane flying them itty-bitty planes. So expensive to maintain. Yeah, you gotta be insane. Gotta be insane. You gotta be insane to fly them small private planes. Woo!
Just what to do. Well, are you drinking? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's my tab. Go ahead, pay.
Holy shit. Okay, so Necropolis, 1986. This is directed by, what's his fucking name? Bruce Hickey. Actually wrote and directed. His only film he ever made. Bruce Hickey. It stars Leanne Baker. And she plays Eve, an evil witch. So we're in like, I think 1886 New Amsterdam. And she is kind of, you know, writhing and dancing around the woods while this priest, I can't remember who played the priest in the film. I was more mesmerized by Leanne Baker the whole time. It's slowly like stalking her and following her to wherever the hell she's going. And she's going into her lair where she is taking her, you know, her followers and giving and doing a seance so they can live forever. All the while, you know, while this priest is kind of stalking her and kind of trying to figure out a way to destroy her, you have this couple getting married. In between her seance, something happens with the couple and the marriage. It really doesn't really make any sense. Blood drips on the woman's hand. I don't know where the fuck it even, like, how it works together. And they were able to stop the witch, and then it flash forward, so modern time, with Leanne Baker sitting on a motorcycle, dressed in, like, you know, goth witch garb, dancing with the helmet on, taking off the helmet, dancing, all the while, you know, they pan over to the cityscape of New York in 1986, so the Twin Towers are there and everything, and I know some people have this kind of PTSD about seeing the Twin Towers in films, but they were there at some point. They have not, never been there. They've always been there up until 9/11, and then, you know, fucking things happen. But we're following Leanne Baker kind of like getting back to her crew of followers and kind of killing people and sucking out the ectoplasm of these people and using her feminine ways and kind of her manipulation and all her witchy poo shit. And this priest who is kind of working with troubled kids because it's, you know, the 80s in kind of war-torn New York City. And you have this kind of one cop who kind of believes him because he's like these people don't seem that bad. They can't just all be just committing suicide. And a reporter who the cop has kind of got a thing for, and the reporter may have a thing for each other. All kind of on the case of trying to figure out what the hell and who the hell is doing this, right? All the while, this witch Eve is kind of incorporating herself into everyday life, while unbeknownst to anybody else that she's an evil witch. And she gets into these places and kind of fucks with people and gets them killed and sucks out their blood plasma, and then goes back to her little lair in the fucking bowels of Manhattan to feed her minions so they can come back to more, you know, prominent style, because they're all fucking zombies now. And you get a lot of nudity with Leanne Baker, especially the fact that when she does this little dance scene where she's able to produce two more sets of tits, so she has six sets of tits, like a little, like a dog when they give birth to puppies, you know, and they're producing milk, so she's feeding her minions with this kind of protoplasm stuff. You have this other story with the cop and the reporter kind of getting together and having a great time, even though they seem to be, you know, the reporter seems to have some kind of PTSD. She doesn't like being touched on the neck, and it's all this kind of weird shit. You have the priest who is this very kind of kind priest, who doesn't know his role in the whole thing until the very end. And then you get to the end. It's a 76-minute movie that just kind of blows by really fast with our main lead, who probably her first acting role. She's not a very good actress, because when we have to actually have her act, she acts with this kind of mean, shit-eating attitude. Or she yells her fucking lines like she's yelling angry. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? But I was fascinated by her. Just fascinated by her, because she's a cute, short-haired, platinum blonde roaming Manhattan on a motorcycle. It's like, oh, ha ha. You know what I mean? And it's like, she's all clad in leather and shit, and it's fucking awesome. And then everybody else, the cast, like, I don't think anybody in the cast besides Leanne Baker did anything else. Like, Leanne Baker did a handful of films after this. The director did nothing. I think he produced one thing with Josh Brolin, which I never seen, and I don't think I ever will. And the problem with this film is that it's on Tubi. I'm not saying it's not a problem. It's a positive. It's on Tubi. But the release that's out there is shit. So Empire / Full Moon Pictures, when Charlie doesn't want to, like, you know, invest the time and the money into doing a new remaster of a film that's in his catalog, he just releases an old VHS rip onto DVD and so calls it Grindhouse. So this is what this has been released. It's so piss poor. I would love a kind of good, just standard def remaster of this film on DVD. It would look so wonderful, right? And, like, yeah, I understand some people have, like, that aesthetic, the kind of grittiness, the kind of griminess of VHS, but I don't know. I think it just kind of become, it's a dead medium for me, and I don't care for it anymore. I think that DVD is way out surpassed, even, like, very, very first edition DVDs out surpassed the quality of VHS any fucking day. So, yeah, I don't know. I like the film a lot, though, but it's kind of, you know, it's your buyer beware. You're going to go and watch this on Tubi. It's a really grainy, kind of muddy cut on, and I think it's on Plex, too. You can rent it on Prime, but I did not do that. I'm going to watch it on Tubi. And I know that Full Moon has a streaming service, but, like, I am, you know, not against that streaming service, but I am. Anything that gives fucking, what's his face, Charlie Band any money? No, I'm not against. And I know me watching this on the fucking, you know, on Tubi also kind of gives him a bit of cash, but it's like, I don't know. I can kind of live without it. So, but yeah, I think it's a fun film. The gore is pretty fun because people get, like, their heads, you know, they get beat up and they get their heads ripped apart and they get all this goo pulled out of their fucking, like, a hole she makes in their head and she's, like, licking it off her hands. The twist ending sucks. Like, there's a twist ending at the end of the film which was like, oh, boo. Like, where it's like, you know, you see her dead hand with she's looking for this ring at the beginning of the film, right? This big fucking gold ring that's got a fucking pentagram on it. And she's using that because she uses that to burn holes into her victims to pull the protoplasm out of them, which is cool. But, like, you see this fucking hand. It's probably the best fucking sequence in the whole thing is this fucking little woman's hand warming up this bed to choke somebody. And I would have been fine with that. But then it goes to this ultimate twist ending, which was like, ugh, boo, fuck you, dude. No wonder you don't write and direct any more movies. It'll be sick. Because of the ending. But Leanne Baker just fucking makes me want to watch. Because every scene she's in, if she's not screaming or growling her fucking lines, she's dancing through it. Which is like, oh, fuck. And knowing her, she probably was a dancer. I don't know. I don't know anything about her. I didn't look anything up about this. I was just so fascinated by watching it that I actually want to watch another film that she's in. And she was in, like, in Breeders and Riot and 42nd Street and a couple other kind of Empire Pictures films at the time. So it's definitely, like, worth checking out for me. But, you know, buyer beware, I guess you can say. But, like, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I don't know what else to tell you. It's gooey, stupid, fucking 80s fun. So, I don't know. Do as what you want with that as you will, I guess.
I think he's possessed. You open up right now or I'm gonna get the hatchet and chop this door down.
What?
Suddenly, I knew what I had to do.
There's blood all over my truck.
What you got there?
Hungry.
Okay, The Abomination. Now, this is a film that I've been wanting to watch for the longest fucking time on this show. And just haven't got off my dumb, lazy ass. So The Abomination is from 86. It's directed by Burt McCormick, who is known in the kind of low-budget fear. I think he produced this and wrote it as well. He made a film called Reptigator, Tabloid, the famous fucking, you know, Macon County War with everybody's sleepy-ass fucking, you know, Dan Haggerty. And this is probably one of his most well-known films out of all the films he's ever made. And this stars Scott Davis as Cody. Pretty much it's a Scott Davis show. So what it is this. This dude who kind of, you know, lives a normal life. His mom is obsessed with this televangelist. One night she starts coughing up blood. And she's sick, and she spits up and she's, you know, not feeling well, but she keeps watching this televangelist, thinking the televangelist will heal her. And one night she spits up this fucking tumor, right? So she's all happy about it, and she's great, and she, you know, she throws it in the garbage, and the tumor kind of drags its ass over to Cody's room and gets into Cody and starts causing Cody the same issue. But what it does with Cody is that it produces a parasite, a monster, that wants him to kill for him, right? So Cody starts killing people. And at first, he kills one person and drags him to the bed and keeps it there, kind of to kind of get rid of it. He doesn't know why he's doing this stuff, but he is. And the morning he wakes up after he's dragged his body under the bed, the bed spits out a fucking skeleton. He looks under the bed. To his horror, there's a parasite stuck under the bed. And slowly but surely, the parasite starts taking over his mind and telling him that he must kill to feed for him. And he starts doing that. All the while he's dealing with his mother, who's obsessed with this televangelist, who, you know, is like, oh, you should go see him. You should watch this show. It's the best thing ever. And he's very kind of adamant against it because he feels like it's a crock of shit, which most of the televangelists in the 80s were crocks of shit. Just trying to, you know, steal money from the old and misfortunate to kind of, you know, line their pockets and live a very good life. And that's kind of what they did. There was enough of those guys on TV over the times that you're just shocked that it still continues with, you know, people who have super mega churches and shit like that, and you're like, fuck. So he's running around killing people, feeding pretty much this parasite that starts off in his bed and then kind of goes into his kitchen, and it's in like the cupboards, it's in the sink, it's in the washing machine, it's under the stove, it's where the dishes are, it's all over the place. And it's this big fucking weird ass puppet with really gangly looking teeth that just wants him to feed it. And he kind of goes on a fucking kill craze rampage, killing people in every elaborate way he can. And it's nasty. It's fun and gnarly and just like what I needed right now. You know what I mean? That's the thing I think with this series this year is like what I need. Like we just recently beat like I think 16 years podcasting at the end of January, the 28th. And I've been kind of, not like per se like bored by podcasting, but just like wanting to dig deeper into the stuff that but like as I'm always saying on this show, I love, like if you hear me talk bad about a film, it's mainly because I picked wrong, right? Normally I've seen these films before and I'm so like, oh, I gotta talk about that, I gotta talk about it. Even if someone else has talked about it, I gotta talk about it at some point. Yeah, Abomination was something I watched a long time ago. And I was like, oh, this has to be put on the list. On the list. It has to be watched at some point. And I have a copy of it on my Plex, and I put my computer up because I was putting other films on, and I was like, you know, let's watch this finally. And I'm very happy I finally got to watch this again after so many years. And it's such a good, like, gnarly little film. And it's mostly, like, I know a lot of people kind of bitch and moan about what the film is that there's a lot of voiceover and the ADR and stuff like that because I guess the guy shot it with no sound. So it's all the voices are ADR'd, and there's this kind of constantly roaming voiceover between Cody and his, like, doctor talking about, you know, how his mother is this, you know, not well because all she does is watch fucking this religious channel all the time, and she started coughing up blood, but then she started feeling better, and she was causing the cure to the preacher, and, like, there's a scene where he drags the... He doesn't... he brings the parasite to the preacher's place, and the preacher gets eaten on the toilet. It's so fucking fun. You see, like, the, you know, the a guy go into the bathroom, and there's just a fucking monster eating on the toilet. You're like, oh my god, it's the best. Oh, it's so silly and so. But then it kind of mixes to, like, the ultra-violent gore that Cody's doing of killing all these people in weird ways, like slitting their throats and cutting them up with fucking chainsaws and chopping the bits, and you're like, oh, and then you see the fucking thing he's feeding it to, and you're like, what the fuck, right? A lot of people kind of bitch and moan about shot on video films, and this is a shot on video film. I think it was shot on 8mm and produced on film, like edited and distributed through on video. It's probably a cost-saving measure. And everybody goes, oh, you know, VHS, you know, shot on video films, I love them, they're such trash. They're like, they're not trash. These people are doing this because they want to make film. And the best way to get it out there, because they can't get it out theatrically, because in the 80s, you know, by the 80s, the whole kind of independent boom of, like, the 60s and the 70s was gone. And the easiest way to get a film out to the audience and out to the masses was to kind of release it on VHS, or even just shoot it on VHS, edit it, and then release it on the VHS again. And it just kind of gives it that weird quality of kind of that grittiness and the grunt. With this film being shot on 8mm, it gives it that 8mm feel, but then it's got this weird kind of waxiness of it, of VHS, if it was edited on tape. But I like this film. I think it's a really unique and interesting fucking gore fest, like wall to wall from beginning to end. And the fact that he even, like, kills his mother at one point, like feeds her to the fucking monsters, is awesome. It has a weird twist ending, which I kind of was fine with. It wasn't as bad as Necropolis, but it's definitely a film I enjoyed for what it was. And here's my son. Bonnie, what's up? Okay, see? I'm home with Bubba. So he just came in, closed, opened my door, and ran off. Goof boy. But, like, I enjoyed this fucking thing. I love it. I think it's so good. The problem is, I think there is a Blu-ray of it now through Dark Sky Pictures. There is a Blu-ray out of it, which is like an SD film with really good master of it on Blu-ray, which a lot of people kind of like, oh, why would you put an SD film on Blu-ray? Sometimes it's just easier to do that because you can fill it with a lot of special features and not have to worry about two discs. You can put the, you know, and you can get a really, you can let the film kind of breathe a little more, especially if it's on a Blu-ray, you get more of a file size. You don't have to compress it as much. So it's like, you know, it works for that, I guess you can say. I have it on my Plex, so it's fun to watch it then. But I probably will pick it up on Blu-ray because I've always wanted a copy of it. I know that for the most part, it's only been released on VHS. I think the last release of it was through Massacre Video, and they only released it on VHS. So it's nice to see there's a physical edition that I can put in a player and watch. But overall, it's a great film. It's a great, weird, gory 80s slasher film that needs to be seen by everybody. I don't know what else to tell you. Like I said, I am a proud sponsor of the Bone Bad Comedy Horrors Film Festival. If you are in the Seattle area in April, I would suggest you to go. Tickets are on sale right now. I think like $40 for the day. And it's an over 12-hour shit thing. April 13th of this year, from 1 to midnight at the SIF Cinema Egyptian, which is a great. When I went, they did it at one of the SIFs, and it wasn't the Egyptian, I forget where, but we had a really great time, and it was a really big theater, 400-seat theater, and it's not just a day of movies where you're watching a shitload of shorts, one full-fledged movie, like one 90-minute movie, and then another chunk of shorts, and then another 90-minute movie. They're also going to have a band, and this year they're going to have the Pine Box Boys, which they played the year we went, and they're a really great kind of rockabilly, kind of folky, kind of, you know, band. I enjoy the hell out of them. I think I've played the music on the show at some point. But yeah, definitely go check that out. Just look up Bone Bad Comedy Horrors online, you'll find it. What else? Oh, speaking of, oh shit, I got a fucking voicemail. Shit. I just remembered that.
Answer the phone, you dumb fuck.
Why is it that I die a little every time you call?
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Mr. Truman Capote. I am calling for Vaughn. I am calling because I was talking to my friend John Houston, and he told me that you have broken a promise to him about doing some episodes about David Cronenberg. I personally don't care for David Cronenberg. If I wanted to see vaginas opening up in people's stomachs, well, I don't know. I just wouldn't want to. But apparently John Houston really likes vaginas in people's stomachs, and I'm calling to find out what is going on between you two. It's crazy. It's like we can't even go out to lunch anymore. I don't know who's talking to who. Please let me know.
Did you guys hear the car crash sound and the voicemail jingle? Well, because I forgot I had a voicemail from Mr. Truman Capote, another man from the depths of death. Which there's a feuds series out now, Capote versus Swans, which I've seen the trailer for, which I want to watch. It's about Truman Capote and the New York ultra elite in the 60s and him fucking them up. I do want to check that out. So thank you, Mr. Capote, for being. And I'm going to get to a fucking Cronenberg episode. Maybe if I can get Mike Justice on the show, maybe I can do it with him. Because it seems like he wants to be on the show. Like I told you, right before right beginning of the year, he was like, you know, we should get together and do a show. We were never on the show last year, and it sucks. And so, you know, and I've been trying to get other people to do the show, and I want to get other people on the show. It forces me to fucking do the show when I have a guest. Which is good. I know some people don't like listening to those episodes, but you know what I mean? Whatever. But if you only leave a voicemail, like Mr. Truman Capote did, you can do that at motionpicturemassacre@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 732-639-1435. That's 732-639-1435. I hope this madness was fantastic for you, because I had a good time putting it together. But with further, I don't know what to say. Before I shit myself, goodbye.
Hey, Godzilla! It's over! You must forgive! Damn lizard!
Talk again. Talk.
Uncle Vaughn?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can hear you. You talk in the voice. No, here, I'm ready. Ready here. Ready? Ready? All right, say it.
Okay. Uncle Vaughn is so silly.
I am not. How dare you.
Can I hear?